Well, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3, where we read together just a few moments ago. Proverbs chapter 3 and the very well-known verses found in verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now we come to what is known as the Thanksgiving Day. It's a day when we thank the Lord for all he's done for us throughout the communion season. Those who have been able to attend throughout the whole of that, the various preachers, the dispensing of the sacrament, the gathering of the saints in more informal fellowship. You have much to thank the Lord for, those who have been able to get along, perhaps just for one or two, perhaps even just this evening. Yet we all have cause to thank the Lord that we still have a place where we can gather together and seek the Lord and seek his blessing upon this nation and this city. But we come here to look at this particular portion in the light of what we've been looking at over these last few sermons since I arrived on Saturday evening. You remember on Saturday evening, we looked at the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the truth, the one who in and of himself displays to us what God is saying in such a powerful way. And we even thought upon at the table of the Lord those other two aspects that are brought out in John 14 and 6, that Jesus is the way and the life also. So we sought to look at the Lord Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life, and consider that he is the focus of our faith. He's the one, the shepherd that was smitten. And having been smitten, the one who has provided for us all that we require. And our trust, our faith, is to be in him. And the joy and the blessing and the benefit that comes from real faith, saving faith, and the sad and sorry reality that comes to unbelief. For those who believe in the Son, they have blessing from God. Those who believe not, the wrath of God abides on them. Eternal life for wrath of God. Those are the two things between faith in Christ and no faith in Christ. And now we come tonight to see, how does that trust in the one who is the true, the living way, how does that trust, that faith in him, work out in those who in thankfulness seek to walk in a way that honours God, in a way that brings glory to the one who loved us and gave himself for us. Well, one of the first things we see here in these verses is this, that it causes us to trust in the Lord with all our heart. You notice there that the first thing it does is it focuses on our faith. Faith is that gate into the knowledge and enjoyment of the blessing of God. But faith is that which continues on in the experience of the believer throughout all of their walk with the Lord and even beyond. That is the blessedness of those who walk by faith. Their faith is focused on the Lord. They trust in him with all their heart. You see that in Proverbs time and again. You see that in all the wisdom literature, actually. Here in Proverbs, and there's also, of course, just afterwards, you have Ecclesiastes, and you have Job earlier on. You have these ones that show you the wisdom of God, the way God works in the hearts and the lives, the situations of men. And how does he do that? He works in us by faith, as we trust in him with all our heart. Now, it's interesting that the focus of that faith is upon the Lord. You see here in Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5, trust in the Lord. It's, you'll look closely, you'll see it's the Lord with small capitals. So that's telling us it's the covenant name of the Lord. It's the Jehovah, it's the one who has been gracious to his people and dealt with them and is in covenant with them. There's a similar kind of book, the book of Ecclesiastes. It's not nearly as well known as it should be, but a wonderful book. And we believe both of them, both Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, were written by Solomon. In Proverbs, he names himself as the one, because he's Solomon, the one who knows the peace of God, the one who is in covenant with God. And you'll see throughout Proverbs, time and again, the word, the name for God in covenant, the Lord in small capitals, Jehovah, Yahweh, is used time and again, because it's talking about the faith and the wisdom that is used by those who walk by faith. In Ecclesiastes, it's the same person, but he describes himself slightly differently. Because there in Ecclesiastes, he doesn't call himself Solomon. He calls himself the son of David, the king in Jerusalem, the preacher, the wise man. He's the one who is speaking there, not to the covenant people so much, and he never uses Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh. He never uses the covenant name of God in Ecclesiastes. He's talking about things under the sun. He's talking about mankind generally. He's talking about what a wise man does in life and helping us to understand. Anyone, if you were to come along, not in covenant with God, what is a wise man? What does a wise man do? Well, you'll see that in Ecclesiastes. He's dealing with it in a more general sense. So he speaks in that way. Here in Proverbs, he's dealing with the covenant people of God much more clearly. And he says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That's who your trust is in. You're in covenant with God. And believing, friend, tonight, it is the Lord that your trust is to be in. It's not the Free Church Continuing. It's not the pastor. Find a pastor as you have. It's not your minister. You trust in the Lord with all your heart. Your focus is upon him, because your faith is founded and grounded in all that he has done for you. And you trust in the Lord with all your heart. Morris Roberts, he says with regards to faith, something well worth rehearsing. He says, faith rises or falls according to the measure in which we remember the things which are unseen. And you see, the covenant people of God, they remember the one whom, having not seen, they love. They remember the one whom, though the world cannot see and do not think upon, they remember him and they trust upon him at all times. They trust in the Lord. Their focus of faith is upon their covenant-keeping God. And what's more, it is a fulsome faith. They trust in the Lord with all their heart. It's not a partial thing. It's not a thing that's for the good days but not for the bad days. It's not a thing that's for the times when you feel like it and not for the times when you don't. They trust in the Lord with all their heart. And the thing about such trust is this. This is the trust that really does things for God. Those who do great things for God always trust with all their heart. Half-hearted faith never achieves anything of note or value. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Not just now and again, not just half-heartedly, but entirely reliant on him. Those of you who hear me more than once in a blue moon will know I often refer to my good friend A.W. Tozer. If I'm looking for a pick-me-up, I'll often go to Tozer. He'll often shake me up as well, and that's good. We need that. And he, with regards to that, says this: pseudo-faith always arranges a way out to serve in case God fails it. Real faith knows only one way and gladly allows itself to be stripped of any second way or makeshift substitutes. For true faith, it is either God or total collapse. And not since Adam stood up on the earth has God failed a single man or woman who trusted in him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. So as we seek to thank the Lord, to show our thankfulness to him, we do it first of all by a wholehearted trust in our covenant-keeping God. Secondly, we do it by distrusting ourselves. It's the very opposite of the way of the world. The way of the world's marked by the arrogance of that song you often hear ungodly funerals and such like. My way. You've heard it, the Sinatra classic. A great hymn to humanistic, self-indulgent arrogance, and the utter opposite of what the saint of God says. We trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not unto our own understanding. We don't see ourselves as the benchmark of truth. We don't imagine that our intellect is that by which God must be measured, because his thoughts are above our thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are his thoughts above our thoughts, and his ways above our ways. So just because we can't understand something, just because our puny intellect is not able to conceive of something, we can't deal with it, we don't understand it, we don't say, well, therefore it can't be true. We just say, if God says it, even if I can't yet grasp it, I trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not unto mine own understanding. When your intellect falls short of understanding God's word, the problem isn't with God's word, nor with God. It's with yours and my puny intellects. And we don't lean unto our own understanding. Archibald Alexander said, humility is the Christian, to the Christian what ballast is to the ship. It keeps him in his proper position and regulates his thoughts and feelings. You know what happens with a ship that doesn't have its ballast in? You know, for a little while it can be okay. Nice millpond-like day, it goes out, everything seems to be fine, but then the wind starts to turn and the waves start to come. Oh, it flips. Everything that should be up is down, and everything that should be down is up. Humility. Not trusting in ourselves. Not leaning unto our own understanding. But trusting in God, that's what keeps us right way up. And that's the ballast of the soul, which enables us by God's grace to keep things in a proper perspective, even when the winds are contrary and the waves are bashing against the hull of the ship. Trust in the Lord, but not in ourselves, not in our intellect, to think that just because we can't understand something, it can't be. Neither in our intuition. And pretty sure I'm not the only one who's had someone come up to me and say, well, you know, I like to think of God this way. It's not what the Bible says, but I like to think of God this way. Well, it doesn't matter what you want to think of God as. Your intuition, your personal imagination, is no means by which to understand God. Lean not unto your own understanding. You want to know what God is like? Look in the Word. You want to know particularly? Look at Jesus. And there you shall see. Ye have seen me. Ye have seen the Father. You remember we looked at it. Christ speaking there to Philip and to those with him. And the sad thing is that man trusts himself, his intellect, his intuition, everything he does, rather than God. But the godly man or woman, the faithful believer, trusts not in themselves, leans not unto their own understanding. It's interesting, you know, in Scripture often, the inventions of man are a way that speaks about the way that man manages to try and lever God out of their life. The Lord made us upright, but man hath sought out many inventions. He finds 101 ways, nay, 1,001 ways to lever God out of his life. It's amazing how we can lever God out of our time and out of our lives with 1,001 inventions. Lean not unto your own understanding. Spend time with God. Get to know him and walk in step with him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Because when we do so, when we don't lean upon our own understandings, then we are those who will be enabled to acknowledge the Lord in all our ways. On a Thanksgiving evening, that's the thing we really need to focus upon, isn't it? To go out from this place so that we acknowledge the Lord in all our ways. So that when people see us in our homes, they'll see that there in our homes we acknowledge the Lord. It's one of the reasons that when we come together around the table for food, we thank the Lord. We're acknowledging the Lord in all our ways. It's a very basic thing. It's something you learn from your earliest days. But it's part of the acknowledging of God in all your ways. You're saying in this home, the food that comes in because of the goodness of God. That which we enjoy because of the grace and the provision of God. We're acknowledging God in all our ways. That's why it's so important to have a time of family worship in the home. It's a sad thing when a home doesn't make time to open the Bible and to read the Word and to pray. I believe one of the reasons that Christianity is so weak in our land today is because the family altar has all but been dismantled in the overwhelming majority of family homes. Personal quiet times, they are important, but they're no substitute for family worship. So that we acknowledge God in all our ways, so that when folks come into our home and it's getting to that hour when we're getting ready for our bed, we open our Bibles and we praise the Lord and we show that we acknowledge God in all our ways. Our homes are filled with the acknowledging of God. It's also, of course, important that whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, and that's not just talking about eating and drinking and giving thanks at food, it's saying whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by him. Do it heartily unto the Lord and not as unto men. You see, as we come to a Thanksgiving day, as we seek to go out and live in thanks to God for his goodness to us, we do that by acknowledging him in all our ways. And the only way we can do that is if we trust in the Lord with all our heart and don't trust in our own understanding. If we trust God's plan and pattern for our lives and follow that. Along with that, of course, to acknowledge him in all our ways will mean to acknowledge him in our work. So that whatever we do, we'll do it as unto God. And in our workplace, people will know we're a Christian by the things we'll do and the things we won't do. I remember someone being asked to show financial things in a way that was less than fully transparent. And they received what they described as a very Presbyterian stare. I won't try and show you what that's like, but the fellow obviously knew that there was something in the biblical makeup and DNA of that individual that they would not play fast and loose with truth. And what made them so determined to stand for truth was the Word of God and what they believed from the Bible. Be in your workplace what you would wish to be seen as in your church. Be honest and faithful and upright and true. Never, ever allow the ways of the world to push you, as Philip's great phrase, to push you into its mold. Don't let the world do. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. But also acknowledge the Lord, and this may sound unusual that I say it, but I think it needs to be said. Acknowledge the Lord in all thy ways in church. In all we do in church, we're to do it in God's way, acknowledging the Lord. You know, there's a lot of politics sneak into church. Can sneak in to ministers' hearts. Ministers have to be careful of that. We're presbyters, not politicians. Can sneak into congregations. I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas. Party spirit. Acknowledge God in all you do in church. Blessed be the God of our fathers, which hath put such a thing into the king's heart, to beautify the house of the Lord which is in Jerusalem, said Ezra. That great trust in the Lord so that even the very heart of a heathen king would be turned to do that which would be for the good of the church. But how did he do it? It wasn't by political manoeuvring. He turned his eyes to God. He sought the Lord. And that's what Nehemiah did. And that's what you and I must do. To trust in the Lord and acknowledge him in all our ways, at home, at work, in church. God's way. In all our ways. And along with that, of course, lastly, From this we receive this encouragement. He shall direct thy paths. Thomas Brooks, a Puritan, he said, God hath in himself all power to defend you, all wisdom to direct you, all mercy to pardon you, all grace to enrich you, all righteousness to clothe you, all goodness to supply you, and all happiness to crown you. Particularly here, all wisdom to direct you. You say, I don't know what to do. I don't know which way to turn. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and you find God direct you. You see, I don't know how I got to here. I didn't plan it this way. It wasn't my doing. How did this happen? Because as you trust in him, as you lean not unto yourself, as you acknowledge God, God directs. That's his promise. And my friend, as you go out into life, as you go out into the world, as you seek to do what's right for God, he directs. And suddenly you find, utterly beyond your expectation, things take a path, a way that maybe wasn't exactly what you had planned or expected. J.I. Packer, he said, be prepared for God to direct you to something you do not like and teach you to like it. When you trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding, when you don't just do the things you like, but you take what God says, you suddenly find you're doing something you'd never have chosen for yourself. And you're actually liking it. Because the Lord is at work. He's doing something. He's making you new. He's working in you so that you become more effective, more blessed, more useful than you had ever imagined you could be, and in an area you'd least have expected it. Why? Because as you do all those things we've looked at, he promises he shall direct your paths. That's true for you young folks. You're at the very outset of life. It's a lovely place to be. Those of us who are a little greyer in hair, there's an element of a sense of looking back and thinking, my, it must be wonderful to be there. You're probably sitting there thinking, I wish I knew I had it all mapped out like them. Well, here's the thing. The Lord will guide you. The Lord will guide you. As you trust in him with all your heart. As you lean not unto your own understanding, as you acknowledge him in everything, he'll guide you. And you and I, who are maybe a bit further on, longer in the tooth, he keeps on guiding you every step of the way. And he never stops guiding you. For he'll be with you all the way, never leaving nor forsaking. And he tells us he'll lead us in a plain path. That's why in Psalm 27, where the psalmist is speaking, he says, teach me, O Lord, the perfect way of thy precepts. He says in Psalm 27, I beg your pardon, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. I'm getting ahead of myself. But also, as well as a plain path, he'll teach us and he'll lead us in a prosperous path. Probably my favourite book in the Old Testament is the book of Joshua. I love it. Perhaps because I'm an ex-soldier. Perhaps because I'm that sort of go in and take the land sort of. That's the makeup of me. Different folks, different ways. That's the way I think. Now, like Joshua. And Joshua never relied on Joshua. Joshua gave over the command to God. Joshua, he gave up all the command to the one who came as the captain of the host of the Lord. He followed the Lord in everything. And as he did so, he found this, that he put his trust in God, and the Lord made him to see success as he went forward. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, said the Lord, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And so he did. In fact, it's very much, I believe, I've never had anyone contradict me, I'm open to correction, but I think that generation of the Old Testament people of God were the most blessed and the most faithful generation. Those who, under Joshua, went into the land, those elders who with him trusted in God when others did not, who saw the wonderful works of God, there was none quite like unto them. You see, they trusted in the Lord with all their heart when they went through the River Jordan. Just as they'd seen their fathers do when they had come to the Red Sea. They trusted in the Lord with all their heart when they saw the walls of Jericho fall down. They trusted in the Lord as they saw the land taken bit by bit, piece by piece, and as the sun was even stayed in the heavens, so that they could do all that God had called them to do. You see, the Lord makes our way prosperous as we trust in him. And what's more, it's not only a plain path and a prosperous one, but it's a personal one. The Lord will deal with you as an individual. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and he'll deal with you as you are. He knows you. He knows your frame. He knows what you can take and he knows what you can't. And he'll deal with you with all the grace and sensitivity that you would expect and far more besides. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment. And the meek will he teach his way. The Lord teaches us and guides us step by step. He knows us and he deals with us as individuals. Sadly, the way of the world is to try and get by without God. And sometimes we're tempted to take our line from them. I'm sure some of you have heard of the Invictus Games. Invictus Games are to do with soldiers who have been damaged in war, and they're seeking to show by their competing in acts of prowess physically that they are unbroken and unbowed. The word Invictus comes from the Latin unconquered. But there's also a poem which is related to it. And it's a most ungodly poem, and it's the heartbeat of much of what the world does. And it says this. It was written by a fellow called William Ernest Henley. And he was an atheist, and his atheism comes out in his few lines. He says this: out of the night that covers me, black as the pit, from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. In the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced or cried aloud. Under the bludgeonings of chance, my head is bloody but unbowed. Beyond this place of wrath and tears looms but the horror of the shade, and yet the menace of the years finds and shall find me unafraid. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. That's arrogant atheism laid bare. And then a woman who believes in God, she comes from a Roman Catholic perspective, But her poem, which was an answer to that, instead of called Invictus, is called Conquered. It's a very good poem for all her background. And it says this: out of the light that dazzles me, bright as the sun from pole to pole, I thank the God I know to be, for Christ, the conqueror of my soul. Since his the sway of circumstance, we would probably say providence, I would not wince nor cry aloud under the rule which men call chance. My head with joy is humbly bowed. Beyond this place of sin and tears, that life with him and his the aid, that spite the menace of the years, keeps and will keep me unafraid. I have no fear, though straight the gate, he cleared from punishment the scroll. Christ is the master of my fate. Christ is the captain of my soul. We are conquered by Christ. We trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not unto our own understanding. In all our ways we acknowledge him, and he has promised and ever does direct our paths. As we go forth in thanks to the Lord, may we live such lives for his glory and our good. May the Lord bless these thoughts to us. Let us pray.